all of you. Welcome everyone this morning. What a precious time. And man, thank you, Stanley, all our worship team. What an amazing time presence. And you're going to see a theme running through today that God wants to speak. And part of my joy as being the lead pastor here is to see each of you live in what you are called to do to make a difference and really change the world in so many ways. We have the privilege of so many different voices and gifts in our church. 3 weeks ago, we had Jay LaRue, one of our extended family, come and share. And then last week, we had Pastor Brandon Baldwin give us the Word of God full force. Wasn't that great last week? Wow. I was driving back from visiting my daughter. I got saved all over again in the car. It was awesome. My wife was like, it's about time. So it was great. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Such a powerful time. And now today, we have another part of our church, just one of our church members who has given her life to study the Word and to prepare it, and that just has such a passion. You've already heard from her a few times over the course of the year, and she is such a gift to us. And I tell you what, as we were praying through what today would be, we just knew she has the Word of the Lord for us this morning. And so much so, we're already planning to have prayer at the end. So I want to encourage your hearts to be ready to not just hear, but to respond to really just what could be a game-changing day in all of our lives. So would you welcome Margo Reese as she comes to share the Word of God with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning. It's such an honor to be back speaking with you again. I told first service, well, I got invited back, so it's not a guarantee. so that's good. But in seriousness, I really believe that the Lord has given me a very, very specific word this morning, and I believe it's for many people. It's for me. It's for all of us. And, you know, I saw the theme of it, as Pastor Sean said, running through the worship and in this theme that was chosen for this year, that phrase, now is the time. I really believe that now is a moment when God wants to do something incredible in the lives of his people. And I want to begin by just saying that I know that there are those of us who have been in the faith for many years, and there are things that we have waited for and prayed for and labored over in the Lord, in the Spirit, asking God for over and over again. And there are areas of our lives where we feel that those things have not yet been answered, that it says in the book of Micah, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And we felt that we're sitting in darkness. We know he's the light, but we can't see it. And, you know, that song that we sang today, even though I can't feel it, you're working. Even though I can't see it, you're working. And then just this phrase that I noticed everyone kept repeating throughout worship of saying that God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten about you. And that's exactly what I want to speak about today. And, you know, while I was sitting there, I thought of this passage in Isaiah. I want to read it to you. And this wasn't planned, but this was just what the Lord gave me. This is in Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? And then it says, even these may forget. Because as humans, we do forget. Some of us had parents who forgot. Some of you had people who were supposed to be there for you who forgot. But God is not like that. It says, yet I will not forget you. These may forget, but I will not forget you. I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. He's saying, I won't forget you. I died for you. I went to the cross for you. And this was written hundreds of years before he went to the cross. I inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And so if you are here today and you feel like there are areas of your life, you say, I know God loves me. I know he's there for me, but I just feel like some of these things are forgotten and put away. I want you to pull those things out with me today. In the book of Luke, in chapter 5, when in the story that we all know very well, where there was a young man who was paralyzed, and his friends took him and they lowered him down through the roof so that Jesus could heal him. Before that miracle occurs, it says that Jesus was teaching the Pharisees in this house, and the Word of God says the power of God was present to heal. We know that God can always heal. We know God is always all-powerful. He always has the power to heal. He can always answer our prayers instantly if he wants. But there are special times where his power is present for everyone there to do a certain type of thing, to act in a certain way, to interact with us spiritually and imbue us with his power in a certain way. And as I prayed over this message, I felt God saying to me, the power of God is present to heal today. And I want you to hear me say that because it's for you. It's for you. And so right now, I know we don't normally do this, but I want you to close your eyes with me quickly. And I want you to bring up into your mind the thing that you've asked God for all these years. Maybe it's a need. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe this place is not your home and you've been displaced and you're here and you just can't. It doesn't feel like home. You can't have that peace that you once had, and you're longing for that feeling that you're at home. You're longing to meet people that feel like your family. You feel isolated. Maybe there was a promise made to you in the Lord years and years ago, and now you think, I'm too old. That thing is never going to come to pass. I want you to take whatever that is, that prayer. It's that one thing that you know. You haven't needed this amount of time to think of it. I'm sure you already have it in your mind. This is the thing I always, maybe you've even stopped praying for it. A prayer you've stopped praying. You said, just forget it. Lord, if you're going to do this, I can't think about it anymore. I'm too disappointed because I haven't received it. I want you to hold that up to the Lord right now in the Spirit, because he wants to meet you where you are today. He wants to meet you with the touch of his power. He wants to fill you, and he wants to fulfill the promises that he made over your life, because you're precious to him, because you're his child. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for every need that is represented in this room today and every prayer that has been prayed for years and years, and the prayers that people stop praying, Lord, because you hold our prayers eternally, whether we keep praying them or not, Lord God, whether we think you'll answer them or not. I pray over these things today. We put them back into your hands, Lord, because we know that a bruised reed you will not break. And a smoldering wick you will not quench, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name for every heart that has a what they feel was a broken or unfulfilled promise today. And in Jesus' name, I ask that we would see your promises be fulfilled as yes and amen. Yeah. Amen. I want to read a story today in the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 41. This is the story of Jairus, and it's actually it's two stories put into one. So just bear with me. We're going to look at the Lord as he begins to answer prayers that have been prayed over the years. And this is in Luke 8:41. Just then, there came a man named Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer." And when Jesus heard this, he replied, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. They were all weeping and wailing for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and called out, "Child, get up." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And then he directed them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened. Now in this story, Jairus' daughter is sick. He knows that she's dying, and he comes to Jesus in a desperate state. And all of us who've had children, we know that panic and that desperation when your child is very sick. Those prayers. I mean, one of my children was very sick at one point, and I had to basically hold him for 3 days straight. And I remember the prayers that I prayed, these desperate prayers where you're begging God, I want you to do this right now because I can't wait another minute. I can't watch this child suffer another minute. And we all know these prayers of desperation. Sometimes they're immediate and sometimes they're long-suffering. When you're dealing with long-term issues, you just keep asking the Lord and you keep asking him for the same thing and you're thinking, but why don't you do it right now? This is the state of panic and desperation that Jairus is in. And he comes to Jesus with this need, this immediate need, and Jesus says, okay, I'll go with you. And he begins to go with him. So this is good. But then on the way, this woman stops Jesus. And so he begins to turn and engage with her. And you know, if you're Jairus, you're thinking, wait, we don't have this amount of time because my child is dying. So I want to pause Jairus for a minute. We'll come back to him. But I want to look at what happens with this woman. So the Word of God tells us, and this story has some other phrasing in Mark, it says that she had suffered for 12 years from this series of hemorrhages. It says she had spent all that she had on physicians, and it tells us in the book of Mark, not only was no one able to cure her, and she did not get better, but she got worse. This woman represents those of us who have this one single overriding need that it takes over our life. For her, it was a physical illness, and it often is, because when you live with physical illness or pain, every day that you get up, you want to focus on the needs of others. You want to focus on becoming more like Jesus, but there's this ailment, and it just won't go away. And you've lived with it for years, and instead of getting better, you got worse. You've spent everything that you had trying to do what other people said would make it better, and it didn't get better, it got worse. She has one single need. There's other things she would pray for. There's other things that she would seek the Lord for. But this is her one single overriding need. It's in her face all day long. It doesn't have to be a physical ailment. It could be a family member that is away from the Lord. It could be a broken relationship. But it's something you live with every day. It's the one thing that's in front of your face all the time. This is what I need from you, Lord. And she wants this healing in her body. So she sees him going by, and she just reaches out, and she's trying to stay hidden, as we can see from the scripture. She's saying, Lord, I don't want to bother you. I just want this one little thing. Let me just reach out my hand. And I want you to see two things about her healing, because they're important for us. First of all, she touches him because she wants to be healed in her body. And it says immediately she felt that her condition was healed. She felt in her body that she was healed. But then it tells us, because of what Jesus said, that power went out from Jesus to her. You see, he didn't just want to heal her body. He wanted to heal her spirit. When you reach out and you touch God, and he gives you a touch, he gives you his healing, he touches you, he doesn't just want to heal your body. You will receive power from him. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll heal you inside and out. The story that I referred to earlier about the paralytic, that man gets, they go through all of that. They take the tiles out of the roof. They lower this man down. He's been paralyzed from birth. Everyone is waiting to see Jesus do what Jesus does, get this man to stand up and take his mat and walk. And do you remember the first thing Jesus says to that man? Son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And you know everyone in that room was thinking, okay, and now you're gonna heal his body, right? Because they wanted to see a big miracle. They can't see the first thing Jesus did because it's eternal. It's spiritual. Your sins are forgiven. You see, he can heal that man's legs, and they'll work for another 40 or 50 years. But first, he healed his soul so that he'll spend eternity with the Lord. He's saying, your sins are forgiven, and now I'll heal your body. This woman touches him, and he says, power went out from me. She received power. When you reach out to the Lord, he doesn't just heal your body. He doesn't just fix your situation. You receive power from him. And the second thing is that in verse 47, it says, she saw that she could not remain hidden. She was trying to just quickly, let me just get something and go. And that is not how God treats us. He doesn't say, okay, you got what you wanted. She could not remain hidden because he stopped and said, who did I just give power to? Stand up and be recognized. And it says, she declared in the presence of all the people. So she had to tell everybody there why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Her healing became a public testimony of God's power in God's glory. She gave glory to God just by telling what had happened to her. And this is her testimony, why she had touched him and how he had healed her. That's all you have to do. When God touches you, you don't have to become a preacher. You don't have to know how to say it in a special way. You just tell people, why did you go to Jesus and what did he do for you? Why Jesus and how did he heal you? And you'll receive power from him first to be able to give that testimony. Because your healing is not just for you. God has a plan for your life to use you to touch other people. And that's why you know you're filled with power first. And then he heals you outwardly so that you can give that testimony to other people. Because he has more for you. He doesn't just want to say, okay, you got what you wanted. He's going to use you, make you stronger that way. You have a greater purpose in your life through your healing. But to go back to Jairus, so at this moment, you know what's going through his head now. It's like, okay, hurry up, Jesus. And I even thought, you know, he's probably thinking, hey, this woman has, you know, been sick for 12 years. She can wait another day. My child is on the, you know, on the brink of death, right? And this is this panic feeling. It's like every second counts until we get there. And at this very moment, the people come from Jairus' house and they say to him, it's too late. And in verse 49, it says, they told him, your daughter is dead. And I want you to hear these words. Do not trouble the teacher any further. In the book of Mark, it says, why trouble the teacher further? Why trouble him? Do not trouble the teacher any longer. In other words, forget it. She's dead, Jesus. You can just go and do whatever you were going to do because it's too late. The thing you wanted from Jesus is dead. Don't bother talking to him about it anymore. Don't trouble him with this any longer. It's not possible anymore. It's too late. What in your life do you say this about? God, I'm not going to bother you with this anymore because it's just too late. I'm too old. I'm too sick. It's too far gone. This relationship is broken. This marriage is dead. I'm too old for this to happen now. It was promised over me. It was prophesied over me when I was young, but it's too late now. I'm too old. Maybe there'll be some other version of it that will happen, but I'm not going to pray for that anymore. This child that strayed from the faith, it's too far gone. But so just forgive him and protect him, but I know it's I'm tired. I'm tired of praying. I still love you. I'll still pray to you. I'll still serve you. But I don't need to trouble you with this prayer any longer because it's dead. It's over. Look, we say that to the Lord. We do that in our prayers. We stop praying certain prayers. Sometimes we just get tired of getting disappointed. I don't want to pray this one more day and have you not answer it, Lord, because I love you. So I'm just not going to talk to you about it anymore. Listen, there have been times in my life that I went through things like this, and I even got to the point where I was proud of myself for like, overcoming the need to see these things be fulfilled or to see these prayers answered. I thought, I'm so spiritually mature now that it's okay. I'm not going to bother you with this anymore because maybe I got it wrong. That's the other thing. Maybe I got it wrong. Listen, when our hearts and other people around us start to say that to us, because we say it to ourselves, but we hear the voices of the world and the voices of you know, earthly logic say to us, don't bother praying about that anymore. It's too late. It's too late. Look what Jesus says to Jairus. He says, do not fear, only believe. Listen, he is talking about fear. I'll address that in a minute. But more of what he's saying is, Jairus, you have a choice. Who you're going to listen to? These people who are coming telling you your daughter's dead. Just don't bother him anymore or you're going to keep listening to me. Do not fear, only believe. In the book of Mark, it says, I love this, there's a Greek word that's used that says, when Jesus overheard what they said, he told him, do not fear, only believe. But that Greek word could be translated, Jesus ignored what they said. And he said, do not fear, only believe. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus, he says, I'm just ignoring that. You can have that attitude if you want, but I'm going to ignore it. Don't fear, only believe. Keep your eyes on me. It's like when Peter says, Lord, if you call me, I can come to you and I'll be able to do what people say is impossible. I'll walk on the water. And as long as he was looking at Jesus, he was fine. But the minute he looked down at the situation, it's like Jairus, the minute he started to listen to the voice of these people, he said, then I was afraid and I fell. Then I was afraid and I fell. Who are you going to listen to? The voice of Jesus, the voice of perfect love. It says in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. If you listen to the voice of Jesus. You're resting on the arms of perfect love. You have no reason to be afraid, and you have no reason to believe that what God has promised you is now impossible. Jesus ignores what they say. And he comes to the house, and when he reaches the house, people are crying and they're mourning, and he says, "Do not weep. She's not dead. She's just sleeping." Listen, where the world, where the voices of others around us, where our fear, where our agitation and our, what when we're relying on what we can see in front of us instead of what's in our spirit, when our fear and the world and everyone around us sees death and finality and says, "It's too late, don't bother, that's over, don't bother praying about that anymore, you don't need to keep bothering him, look to something else, move on from that," where we see death and finality, the Spirit of God that lives in us sees potential. That's not dead, it's just asleep. We can wake it up. I love that. I love that in the book of John when he says to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and we're going there to wake him up." Everybody else says, "He's dead. He's so dead we can smell it." And he says, "We're just going there to wake him up." Where we see death, where we see death, the Spirit of God sees potential. There's still potential there. Jesus can wake up those things that you put to rest in your heart. He can wake up the dreams that you put to rest in your heart. He can give life where there's death. He can bring healing where you thought it's too late for that thing to be healed. Let's just pray that the person can limp forward. He can bring full healing and full redemption. Let me ask you a question. Have you been looking at those things in your heart, those things you stopped praying, as though they were already dead? As though it was too late? As though it was impossible for God? Have you said in your heart, just like them, this is done. Why trouble Jesus any longer? Have you even forgotten to keep praying? Sometimes we even put something in the back of our, it's there, it's in the back of our mind. We know it's a need, but we don't actually, when's the last time it actually came out of your mouth when you were praying to the Lord? Have you just said, "Well, yeah, he must know I need that because I've prayed it so many times, but I'm not going to revisit that prayer because I don't want to feel disappointed one more day when I don't get it." Or have you been like the mourners? They laughed at Jesus when he said, "She's not dead. She's just asleep." And I love this passage in Luke. It says, they laughed at him because they knew she was dead. She's dead. So they laughed at him. And I want to say something. When they laughed at him, this isn't, it's a strange phrase to say they laughed at him because they were in the middle of crying. They were weeping for her. So it's strange to think that they would laugh. But I want you to hear me. Sometimes when we react to these things in our lives, we're reacting in depression, in despair. It's too late. You know, we self-pity, we say it's too late, that thing, or depression, I can't look at that any longer. I'm not going to ask for it any longer because it's too disappointing. There's too much disappointment there. But sometimes we're like these mourners and we become angry and sarcastic and bitter. And that's what this laughter is. Yeah, okay, well, she's actually dead, so we're not going to get anywhere with that. That's the attitude. And some of us can grow into that attitude as well, like the mourners, and say, "I understand you're saying that God's still going to answer this promise, but you don't know. It's dead. It's too late. We're not going to bother him with it anymore." And it's just like Sarah and Abraham in the Bible. We know that God gave them the greatest promise, that we're still living on the wings of this promise. He said, "You'll be a father of many nations, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." He was speaking forward to the coming of the Messiah all through Abraham. He said, "Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And they continued childless until they knew it was impossible. And it says that when they were almost 100 years old and the messenger of God came and told them, "I'm coming back a year from now, and the promise God made to you 80 years ago is going to be, it's going to come true. Your wife's going to be pregnant." And what did they do? It says they laughed. She laughed, right? They laughed just like this because they knew it was impossible. He said, "Hey, I don't want to break it to you, but it really is too late for that to actually happen. It's too late." And you know what? God promised us that, but maybe we'll, and then they did. They said, "Let's figure out another way. Maybe we can have a child this way. Maybe we can have a child that way," because it's too late for God to do what he said he would do. And so it says she laughed. And let me tell you something. Her laughter was so much a part of their story. The redemption that God brought to them after that was so much a part of their story that they named the child Isaac, which means he laughed. He laughed. Let me tell you something. The very thing that you laughed at, the thing you said, that really is impossible, it really is too late, is going to become the greatest promise God fulfills in your life. You're going to have to give it a name because you laughed at it. Amen. I want to tell you something. God fulfills his promises to us whether we think he will or not. It doesn't depend on us. This is why I don't like that, you know, the name it and claim it, those faith movements, because it makes a person feel like it's dependent on their own ability to summon up enough faith to get God to act. When God makes a promise, he comes through on that promise, whether you think he will or not. It's not dependent on whether you believe it or not. He promised it, and he will deliver. He will deliver on that promise. You know why? It says in Romans 4, 17, he gives life to the dead, and he calls things which are not as though they are. He calls into existence things that do not exist. He doesn't need our faith to do that. He recognizes our faith, and he blesses our faith, but he also knows, it says in the Psalms, he knows how we are made. He knows we're dust. He knows that we don't always have the strength to keep holding on and keep praying and keep believing and keep persevering in prayer. So he just takes that first prayer, that first promise, and he holds on to it. You understand? So even when we give out and we're not sure anymore, he'll answer it whether we still think he will or not. It says in later in that same passage in Romans 4, Abraham did not weaken in faith even when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. As far as having children, it was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. But he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that he was able to do what he promised. Jesus is saying to you today, just like he said to Jairus, don't listen to those voices that say, this is too late, it's impossible. He's saying, listen to my voice. Do not fear, only believe. Listen, if you feel like Jairus might have felt, I asked Jesus for something urgent. I needed it right now. It needed to happen in a certain time frame, and now that frame has passed. And it's just too late. I think it's too late. I don't need to bother praying about that anymore. Or maybe you're like Abraham and Sarah, and there was a promise made over your life years and years ago, and you really thought you heard the Lord. You really thought you knew this is something God promised that I would be, or I would do, or my children would do, or would happen in my household. It could be a promise over you, over your identity, over who you are. It could be over something you're supposed to do. It could be over a healing that you would receive, or something that you would see, and they're thinking, you know what, it's too late now. I mean, I'm too old, or I've made too many wrong turns. Yeah, if I had followed God this way, maybe that would have happened, but probably now because I made these mistakes and I sinned, that's not going to happen. Or maybe you're like the woman who says, I just want this one thing for all these years. I've been asking you for this one thing, Lord. If I could just get to you, I just want this one little thing. And I want to say to every single person in this room today, all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He has an answer for you. Those things he doesn't forget. Just like the verse I read from Isaiah, he says, even a woman could even forget her nursing child, but I won't forget you because I inscribed you on the palms of my hands. It says also in the Psalms, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Don't hold God to the standards of the way you've been treated by other people in the world. They all let you down. They all get tired. They all have a limit with how many mistakes you can make. He doesn't. He won't. He loves you more than all of that. And he looks at your need, at your dream, at your prayer, at this promise, and he says, like he said to Jairus, that's not dead. It's just sleeping. It's just sleeping. Your prayer, your need, the promise of God in your life, even if it was years ago, it's not dead. It's not gone. It's not too late. And even if you stopped praying that prayer, even if you forgot, I'm telling you, there are things that God promised me so long ago that I forgot about them. I'm sorry to say that. And that when God began to fulfill them in my life, it was almost like he had to tap me on the shoulder and say, remember that? I really do answer prayer. I really do answer, and I really do fulfill my promises. And he will answer you whether you thought he would or not. It's not dependent on the strength of your faith. It's dependent on his strength. Hallelujah. That's right. The one you prayed to back then, the one who spoke those promises over you in the Spirit, is the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. He calleth the things which are as though they were not. The voice of Jesus goes in and speaks to Jairus' daughter, and he says to her, little girl, get up. And this word is a word of resurrection. He's saying, arise, rise up. Listen, Jairus just wanted healing for his daughter, and it felt like it was too late. And in the end, he received a greater miracle. He received her back from the dead. He just wanted healing, and in the end, he received resurrection, new life, a chance to start over. Just like this woman, I just wanted just a little touch. I just want you to heal my body. But instead, she received power from on high. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and her life became a public testimony of the power of God and gave glory to God. Jesus wants to answer the prayers that you stop praying. He wants to fulfill the promises that you think it's too late for him to fulfill. Listen, when Zechariah and Elizabeth, another old couple in the Bible, that they thought they were too old to have children, and he's in the temple and he speaks to the angel, and he doesn't believe it when the angel tells him that his wife will become pregnant, because he says, well, that's not possible because it's too late. And the angel says to him, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will not be able to speak until these things come to pass. He's saying, Zechariah, God doesn't care whether you think he can do this or not. He will do it. It will be fulfilled in its time. And you'll be there to see it. You'll be there to see it because he loves you that much. Because that's the meaning of his promises. They're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He will resurrect the dreams that you stop dreaming. And he'll answer the prayers that you stop praying. And he'll bring to life the dead and call into existence the things that do not exist in your life. So from the beginning, I asked you to hold that prayer in your hearts. Whatever it is that you've longed, that you've waited for, or the promise of God that you've longed to see fulfilled in your life, that the world, that your heart said to you, listen, this, I love this, in 1 John it says, even when our hearts condemn us, he'll love us because he's stronger than our hearts. He's stronger than our hearts. It's not dependent on me and what I can summon up. It's dependent on him and how much he loves me, which never changes. Hallelujah. Like Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so right now, I just want us to have a time of prayer. I want just the elders to come up and the prayer team to come up, because right now I want to give you an opportunity to meet the Lord. Let him meet you in that place, the thing that you stopped praying, the promise that you stopped believing would come true, the thing that you've said in your heart, it's too late, it's too late. Let me not bother Jesus with this anymore. Oh, it's never a bother because he loves you so much. So if this is you and you want to just spend this time with the Lord, please come forward. If you're watching at home or if you're here and you don't like to come up to the front, that's okay, because this is between you and the Lord. You can just begin to come now if you want prayer while I'm talking, and I'm going to begin to pray. But this is between you and the Lord. We want to pray for you. We want to be here to minister to you. But there's nothing that I can say or do for you that will touch this place, because it's personal. It's between you and the Lord. It's the things that you've believed him for all these years, and he knows those things, and he wants to touch them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every heart in this place right now that has trusted you over all these years, that has placed these things in your hand. And Lord, we lift up every prayer in this room that is represented, that people stop praying, that they felt it was too late, that they felt maybe I didn't hear you right, that they felt maybe because of my sin, maybe because I didn't have enough faith, this thing died. Lord, I ask that you would call those things which are not as though they are, Lord God, that you would comfort them, that you are the God that can call into existence things that do not exist. If there are broken relationships, Lord God, that have felt too far gone. I also believe there are people here who I strongly believe, as I prayed for this day, I believe that there is at least one person here who is struggling with your very identity, because the world is telling you you're one thing, and God wants you to know he prepared good works for you beforehand to be your way of life. He has an identity that was given to you at your birth. You do not need to be confused about this. Just listen to his voice, because he loves you, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are people here who feel displaced. They feel like they cannot be at home any longer because they've been taken away from their homes. And Lord, in Jesus' name, all your promises are yes and amen to these, Lord, that you can bring them in and let them, like this woman, they will not remain hidden any longer, but they will stand in the presence of all and share the testimony of your healing in their life, Lord God. And I pray for those who are here right now, Lord God, who who have prayed all their lives for one single need, Lord. Maybe they've lived with pain. Maybe they've lived with illness. And if you are a person who struggled with chronic physical illness, please try to come up here if you can, or I'll come to you and let us pray for you in the name of Jesus, because I believe the power of God is present to heal. Is present to heal, and He is able. He is able. Oh, Lord, I just pray for every need that is represented here, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Meet these where they are. Show them that you have not forgotten them. You could never forget them, that they are inscribed on the palms of your hands. In Jesus' name.